It's our weekly fantasy sports podcast with Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. Jeff, of course, best fantasy analyst in the business. And you can track Jeff at RotoWire, the best fantasy website in the business as well. Jeff, here in Pittsburgh, everybody is in a hockey frame of mind with the hiring of Kyle Dubas, the director of hockey operations for the team. Surprise to some because many thought he'd be general manager. That's what everybody is buzzing about here. But in terms of the fantasy world, with the Pirates, they're coming back and playing the Cardinals, the A's, and then they get a series on the horizon against the Mets before they get into divisional play. After a really rotten May where they crash back to reality, there's some opportunity here, I would think, for some Pirates hitters and pitchers to get on the right path against these three teams as they come into PNC Park.
Yeah, that's right. And the fact is, they're in the right division. They had the rotten, awful, no good month of May for them, and they're right there. And the Brewers are losing a day, I mean, to Kevin Gausman. We'll see if they rally, but by the time listeners hear this. But fact is, the Brewers haven't run away. They've got their own issues. The Cardinals, who they're hosting, have been notoriously bad this year, although it's funny, they've got a plus run differential on the season. So it kind of shows that they might be better than the record indicates. But point is, they're not firing on all cylinders. The Cubs are in a bad way right now. The Cubs were even worse than the Pirates in the month of May. So there you go. I mean, it's a good spot to be in. The NL Central was perhaps as bad as it's ever been. So it's a good year to be better than average, and which is what the Pirates are. They finished that road trip with a nice win in San Francisco, too.
Yeah, they did. And I'm looking at sort of the grand scheme of what you were talking about, because after these three games, they've got three series in a row in the division, two against the Cubs and one against the Brewers. If they can just stay afloat here in June and not have it continue to plummet like it did in May, I think they're going to get to July, at least in the hunt for the division, and then the question becomes, what do you do? Jim Bowden from The Athletic just recently wrote his power rankings up, 1 through 30, sure, looking at every team in Major League Baseball. I think he had the Pirates 22nd between the Tigers and I think the Guardians. They're right between those two teams, which doesn't exactly look favorable on the Pirates in that light. They have a better record than those two, but he's already talking about, will they trade David Bednar? Will they trade Andrew McCutchen? And I know a lot of us have those thoughts in our mind, but like you said, mm-hmm, with the division keeping them afloat, they might not be able to do that and sell anything to the fan base at all.
Yeah, that's right. This is one less team with that could potentially be a seller on the market that we were thinking might be. You know, Bednar was obviously a name we were all thinking about as a possibility. So if they don't sell Bednar, then, there's just not that many good names out there on the market. Maybe you'll see like the White Sox instead, who some people thought were going to be contenders and instead are not. That might be the pivot there. But, yeah, it's interesting to see it. The respect has been slow to come around. And obviously the month of May had a lot to do with that there.
Jeff Erickson with us from RotoWire. As far as what you're seeing from, let's look at some of their opponents. You talked about the Cardinals a little bit. The A's are just one disaster after another. Ugh. And what's your take on some of what we've seen from the Mets? I know a lot of people have fantasy interests there.
Yeah, well, the Mets are kind of coming around. Thank you for the thanks to the Phillies right now. Phillies are 25-30. The Padres are 25-30. You know, both teams are like, when are they going to start? When's that offense really going to start firing away? Phillies just lost to Alec Boehm. The Mets, they're getting people healthier. Scherzer and Verlander both are kind of coming around. We'll see. The other thing about the Mets I think is interesting is their young players are starting to play more. Francisco Alvarez even batting second now a lot of times. He's got the third most homers for a catcher this season. So, and he didn't even start the year at the big club. And now he's playing on a regular basis.
Some of those injured Yankees starting to come back too?
Yeah. And although they just lost Harrison Bader. So the Yankees, they get healthy and then they lose somebody. They get healthy and they lose somebody. And Bader in particular, hurt start the year, then played great. And now he's hurt again. And that's just the Harrison Bader experience.
Looking kind of a little further at the injuries, the Rockies are kind of in play here with a couple guys too. It looks like Charlie Blackman is back and activated. Chris Bryant, though, went on the IL with a heel bruise. I was kind of keeping tabs on your guys' feed for injuries. What else are you seeing that fantasy owners have to be aware of during the course of this week?
Well, the thing, it's a big free agent week again, because we already have in a lot of leagues that Royce Lewis is going to be available for pickup. If you're in a league that requires a player to be active in the major leagues and have played a game before you can bid on him, this is the first week you can do that. I'm on Ellie watch, though. I'm on Ellie De La Cruz watch. Do the Reds call him up this weekend? Because he's banging down that door down at Louisville right now. And the Reds are quietly fun, Tim. They're really fun. Five game winning streak right now. Just these young hitters doing well. It's all these guys on the way. I want to be a cynic, but I also kind of want to see these guys do well at the big league level. And I'll tell you what, if we have Ellie De La Cruz available to bid on this week in free agency, I'm going to be very aggressive.
Was looking at your Z files from Todd Zola. Who would you rather pitching style? What was hot points there for fantasy folks?
Todd does his Z files every week. And they're kind of fun to kind of take a look at. It's kind of like a who do you have more confidence in? And he puts them in groupings here. Like for the first grouping, yeah, you take two struggling pitchers or one guy that's overachieved. Sandy Alcantara, Aaron Nola, or Joe Ryan, who would you rather roster the rest of the season? The question was asked a week ago, and they've all started at least once since that question. But Sandy Alcantara, it's been really frustrating. The experts are like in the Tout Wars community are higher on Joe Ryan. Twitter respondents are higher on Sandy.
Jeff, let's get to some football and some conversation that are going on across the country when it comes to OTAs, spring practices, if you will, for the NFL as we kind of go into what now week three of the OTAs, at least here in Pittsburgh, that's the case. And one thing that's starting to percolate here in Pittsburgh is how many touches people should count on for Jaylen Warren. Is he starting to get some buzz as more of a legit second back? I know that started to peak somewhat last year. I'm still dubious so long as Najee Harris stays healthy, though.
Well, yeah, and Harris, wasn't healthy for a good stretch and still Warren didn't get a ton of use. There was a stretch where he was getting more use, but the thing is, Harris finished strong, and that's the reason why I'm probably dubious more on the ascendancy of Warren. I mean, yes, if Harris suffers an injury, then I think Warren has proven to be a capable backup, but we've always seen Pittsburgh's usage in the past. They like the bell cow back. That's the way they prefer to go under Mike Tomlin.
They do, and I'm really one that is going to watch how things go early in the season in the red zone because they do have a lot of options, and they've built in a lot of options. Guys like Allen Robinson, guys like Darnell Washington have been added to the mix. And these aren't guys that I'm suggesting anybody draft because, they're going to score a lot of touchdowns. It's more a matter of who do they vulture those touchdowns from in the Steelers lineup.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the people they're vulturing from have already been vultured. Freiermuth and Deontay Johnson were come pre-vultured. I mean, so you can't lose what you don't have.
No, that's a good point. And maybe that's why they should have some of their draft status deflated, if you will. What about the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes? Where do you think he's going to wind up?
Oh, man, this is confusing. I mean, obviously the contract kind of dictated why the Cardinals couldn't trade him, but boy, did they botch that situation badly. I mean, you could have at least gotten a draft pick in this past draft instead of just giving up on him completely. But, where he lands is obviously huge. Like, he makes a lot of sense in Kansas City. Make some sense in Buffalo. Financially, it will be the tricky part with both of those teams. So that's why maybe the odds aren't super high with them. But I know some people suggested Dallas, but Dallas is already added to their receiving core. So I wouldn't expect him to land there. But
Cleveland at all?
Cleveland could be interesting, but they just went and got Elijah Moore. I mean, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is a different level. Moore is more speculative. But I mean, they gave up a decent draft currency to go get Elijah Moore. I'd like to see him get a real chance before they move on to a veteran who might be on the Andre Johnson phase of his career. Those low 30s for some of these receivers, the cliff comes pretty quickly. And so I'm probably a little below market on Hopkins, even before figuring out the uncertainty of where he plays.
You're tracking the San Francisco news surrounding quarterbacks much. Looks like Trey Lance is getting the real bulk of the snaps of the first team, at least according to what we read on ESPN this week.
Yeah, that's true. I think we breathlessly report all OTA snaps because we have nothing else to report, especially if you're strictly football. So I kind of want to take that with the appropriate grain of salt. I think they made careful pains to illustrate, though, that this is still Brock Purdy's team. I almost wonder if this giving Lance all the snaps is just to make sure that they're not making a mistake and or finding a way to market him a little bit better in the trade market.
Jeff, what do you have at RotoWire this week? What are you keeping up with, not only in terms of offseason football, also if there's any more baseball, or what are you looking at in terms of the Stanley Cup and NBA Finals?
So I just released a set of PPR rankings, top 150, just a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, no kickers or defenses in those rankings. I'll be doing that on a regular basis. I've tweeted out the link. You guys can check it all out, but it's up on RotoWire as well. If you don't already subscribe to RotoWire, go to rotowire.com/radio and get a free trial. No credit cards required. You get a peek behind the paywall. I believe my rankings are free, but we have other sets of rankings up on the site. We have projections, dollar values. You mentioned the Z files for baseball. James Anderson had a set of prospect rankings. He updated those and the mailbag that came with that. He just posted this week. So all sorts of great content for you. We're at the third of the way through the baseball season. Good time to take stock and see where you're at.
Yeah, going to start tracking the draft soon with the Pirates having the number one overall pick as well. Cruz hopefully is the guy that they take. At least I'm hoping.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And they've got that. And yeah, that's right around the corner. That's really crazy how quickly that'll sneak up on us.
Jeff, thanks. We'll do it again next week. Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.